This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we bring our series called 40 Days of Prayer to a close with a final look at how to cultivate a powerful prayer life, as well as what it takes to experience breakthrough in your relationship challenges, financial difficulties, bad habits, health crises, and many other areas of your life. Now, in just a little while, we're going to tell you how you can get Bible verse scripture cards with the key verses for this series, 40 Days of Prayer. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com. Or, if you want, you can connect with us by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called When God Says No.
Now, what do I do when God says no? Right quick, this is real fast. Three things here. When God says no, number one, trust that God does everything in goodness and love. Trust that God does everything for me in goodness and love. God does not do anything unloving. God does not do anything evil. Everything God does is always for your own good and because he loves you. Psalm 25:10, all the ways of the Lord are loving. There are no unloving ways of God. God cannot act in an unloving way. God is love. Romans 8:28, in everything, not some, in everything, even the bad stuff, in everything, God works for the good of those who love him. Now, you need to remember that, and you need to trust that God does everything in goodness and love in your life, even when he says no. Because anytime God says no, Satan is going to start shooting darts of doubt at you. God doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you. Otherwise, he'd give you everything you want. He doesn't love you. Satan is a liar. I want you to write this down in your outline. I don't have to understand God's answer to know it's motivated by love. I do not have to understand God's answer to my prayer to know that whatever answer it is, it's always motivated by love. As I said, God loves you too much to give you everything you ask for. So really, when God says no, you've got three options. You can resist it, resent it, or relax in it. You can resist it, and you can fight God, and when God says no, you get mad at God, and you turn your back on God, and you say, okay, God, if you won't play a game my way, I'm leaving you, I'm out of here, I'm gonna take my ball and go home. And I've met a lot of people who walked away from God because God said no. And they didn't trust that he had a bigger perspective, a better plan, and a greater purpose. And they walk away in resentment and rebellion. That's the second thing you can do is you can resent it. You can resist it, you can resent it, and you become rebellious, and you become bitter and miserable, and you doubt God's love. And I know a lot of people who've lived their entire lives in misery, and they're miserable because they're resentful, and they've never accepted the fact that God only does what's good in their lives. Or you can relax, knowing that God always has your best interest at heart. God, it doesn't make sense. I don't understand it. It's incredibly painful. But I know this. This is not good, what's happened to me right now. But I do know this. You are good. You are good. You're a good God, and you are loving, and you will never stop loving me. And even in this, your love still remains. Number two, second thing you do when God says no, when in pain, you pray what Jesus prayed facing the cross. You pray what Jesus prayed facing the cross. Jesus prayed a prayer the night before he went to the cross. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane is a word that means where they press the grapes. And it's a garden of olives. It was a garden or orchard of olive trees on the Mount of Olives. And it was Jesus' favorite place to pray. He knows tomorrow he's going to be suffering. He's going to be tortured. He's going to be put on the cross. He's going to be shamed. He's going to be spit on. He's going to be whipped. He's going to be crucified. He doesn't want to go through this pain any more than you or I do. And the Bible says that in that agony, he went to the garden to pray. And the prayer that he prayed is the same prayer you should pray when you're in pain. So follow this closely. Mark chapter 14, verse 35, 36. Going a little farther into the garden, Jesus fell to the ground. He's in agony, praying that if possible, he might not have to suffer what was ahead of him. What's that? Crucifixion. He said, God, if it's possible, I don't want to die on the cross. If there's any other way for the salvation of the world, I don't want to die on the cross. It's okay to say, God, I don't want this. I don't want to go through this suffering. It's okay for you to say that. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to face what I'm about to go through. Cancer, surgery, divorce, death, whatever. God, I don't want to do this. He prayed that if possible, he might not have to suffer what was ahead of him. And Jesus prayed, Abba, Father. Remember Abba? Daddy, the intimate term. Daddy, Father, my Father. And he says three things. All things are possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will, not mine, to be done. Those are the three things you should always pray when you're in pain. Okay, write these down. Here's the right way to pray when you're in pain. First, affirm God's power. That's the first thing you do. And he says, God, Father, I know you can do anything. All things are possible for you. So you know, God, I know you could take care of this situation. I know you could keep me out of this suffering. I know you could take away the pain instantly. Father, you are all powerful. That's the first thing you do. Second, then you ask with passion. You affirm God's power. I know you can do anything. You ask with passion. Father, please give me what I ask. Father, please take this cup of suffering away from me. It's okay for you to pray. God, please take away the pain. Please take away the suffering. That's okay. And there are sometimes God will. But sometimes you won't. And so then you pray the third. You affirm God's power, you ask with passion, and you accept God's plan. However, God, I want most what is your will. Yes, I don't want to go through this suffering. I don't want to go through this problem. I don't want to go through this pain. But nevertheless, what I want even more than that is I want your plan. I want your purpose. I want your perspective. I want your will. However, yet your will, not mine, to be done. That's what I want. And when you pray that prayer, God smiles because he knows you trust him. Number three, what I do when God says no, I trust that everything he does is in love and in his goodness. I pray the prayer of Jesus. I'm honest about what I want, but I say I really want more than anything else. I want your plan and your purpose. And number three, I expect God to give his grace to handle his answer. I expect God to give his grace, that's his strength, his power, to handle his answer. What is grace? Grace is God's power to handle pain. And grace is God's power to do the right thing anyway, even when it's painful. I'm gonna do the right thing, even though it's painful. You know, even the Apostle Paul, who's the greatest Christian who ever lived next to Jesus Christ himself, did not get any answers to all of his prayers. In fact, he had what he called a thorn in the flesh. We don't actually know what it was, but it was a lifelong problem that caused great pain in his life. And he says, God had blessed me so much that he gave me this problem, this thorn in my side that just wouldn't go away to keep me dependent upon him. And he says, many, many times I prayed for God to take it away and God would not take it away. He said, no. And here's what he says about that problem. 2 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. Three times I prayed to the Lord about this and I asked him to take it away. God, take away this pain. But his answer was, my grace is all you need. For my power is greatest when you are weak. So Paul says, I gladly boast about my weaknesses, my pain, my problems, my difficulties, so that Christ's power could flow through me. But when I am weak, then I'm strong. I'm not going on my power, I'm going on God's power.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
One of the things you ask us about the most here on Daily Hope are the Bible scripture cards. We get a ton of requests for them. So Pastor Rick has added another deck of scripture cards with 40 of the key verses from the 40 Days of Prayer series that will transform your prayer life. These colorful, eye-catching cards will help you memorize the Word of God so that you have it when you need it most, something you hear Pastor Rick talking about all the time. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a gift to share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world, we'll send you the 40 Days of Prayer scripture cards to say thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of the 40 Days of Prayer scripture cards or text the word daily to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or text the word daily to 800-600-5004. Today is the last day to get yours, so don't wait. Now, let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Rick Warren.
Many of you know that I've struggled with a handicap since childhood. I was born with a brain disorder that makes public speaking painful and makes sleeping very difficult, among other things. I won't go into all the details. I've been to the best doctors in the world. I went to Mayo Clinic and they said, we may name a syndrome after you, because they said, we know about 15, 16, 17 other people in the world who have this. My brain, to simplify it, runs extremely hot and extremely fast, and it causes all kinds of problems in my body. And for 50 years, I've asked God every day to heal it. And he has said to me every time, my grace is all you need. My grace is all you need. And when I started Saddleback, I said, Lord, you know how painful it is for me to speak. I could do one service, but I could never do two. This is before they invented video, the salvation. And I could do two, but I could never do three services. And we went to three services. And I said, I could do three, but I could never do four. And I'd go home and finish after four services and go home and just get in bed and crash for about 24 hours. I could do four, but I could never do five. And then we go to five services. The church kept growing. Then pretty soon we're doing six. And I remember that decade where I'm doing six services every weekend. And at the end, if you didn't even have this, you'd be a basket case after doing six services. The emotional, physical energy that it takes to give out to thousands of people. And God just kept saying, my grace is all you need. And the very thing that has been the most painful in my life, God used to shape me and make me depend on him. And then for 27 years, I prayed every day for God to heal my youngest son's mental illness. We're all broken. And it didn't happen. And one day, 4 years ago, he took his life. And God said, my grace is all you need. And I will use this to help other people in pain. Everything I've learned in life, I have learned from pain. I have learned nothing from pleasure. I've learned everything important I've learned through pain. I have learned nothing from praise and compliments and having my picture on the cover of dozens of national magazines. Everything I've learned through criticism and attacks. And the things that I've prayed about the most, God has chosen to not remove. But like Job, Job says, though he slay me, yes, will I trust him. God could kill me. I'm still going to trust him. If God never said yes to another prayer in my life, I still owe him the rest of my life. And you do too. If God never said yes to another prayer in your life, you wouldn't even be alive if it weren't for him. You wouldn't be saved if it weren't for him. You wouldn't be on your way to heaven if it weren't for him. All the things that God has done for you. If he never did another yes, he has a bigger plan, better plan, bigger perspective, and a greater purpose. So what have you been praying about? And so far, it hasn't happened. Some of you have been praying, God, I just want somebody to love. I want to be married. And as your pastor who loves you, I want that for you too, if that's what you want. And it breaks my heart when there are prayers like that that aren't answered. I don't know. But you need to remember this. When something hasn't happened yet, God has a bigger perspective. He may be protecting you from an unforeseen problem and pain. God has a better plan. The story has not ended yet. Some of you went through a divorce. That was an end of a chapter. The chapter has ended, but that's not the end of the story. God is not finished with you. That's not the end of your story. It's the end of a chapter. Or you've gone through something else. That's the end of a chapter. It's not the end of your life. God has a greater purpose, and right now he's working on you, and he will give you the grace and the power to handle. He will never put more on you than he puts in you to bear it up. The last verse on your outline says this: those who know you, Lord, will trust you. You do not abandon anyone who comes to you. If you don't trust God when he says no, it means you don't really know him. Those who know the Lord, trust him. They know he's good. They know he's loving. If you don't trust him, it means you don't know him yet. You can get to know him starting today. I'll end with this poem by Russell Kelfer. You are who you are for a reason. You're part of an intricate plan. You're a precious and perfect, unique design called God's special woman or man. You look like you look for a reason. God made no mistake. He knit you together within the womb, and you're just what he wanted to make. The parents you had were the ones that he chose, and no matter how you may feel, they were custom designed with God's plan in mind, and they bear the master's seal. It wasn't that they were good or bad parents or indifferent or you never even met them. They had the DNA that created you, and God was more interested in creating you, and they were the only two who could create you. He's more interested in you being alive than their parenting skills. That's why he chose your parents. He wanted you alive. Nobody else could have made you. Know that trauma you faced was not easy. It wasn't easy. And God wept that it hurt you so. But it was allowed to shape your heart so that into his likeness you'd grow. You are who you are for a reason. You have been formed by the master's rod. You are who you are, beloved, because there is a God. Let's bow our heads. You're not going to get a yes answer to every one of your prayers. You ought to thank God for that. Some of them, we can figure out why. But some of them, we're never going to know why until we get to heaven. But we do know this. God is a good God. He's a loving God. He has a greater perspective. He has a better plan. And he has a greater purpose. If you don't trust him, it's because you don't know him. So why don't you take the first step today to knowing God, really knowing him? Say, dear God, I want to get to know you. Just say that in your heart. Dear God, I want to get to know you. I want to open my life to you. I want to learn to love you and trust you. And I want to feel your love toward me. I don't feel it, but I want to feel it. I want to be close to you. And God, I want your plan for my life, not mine. Mine hadn't worked out real well. God, I want your purpose for my life, not mine. God, I want your power in my life, not mine. God, I want your pardon for all the things I've done wrong. I need your peace. I need your presence. Thank you for letting your son, Jesus, suffer for me so he could pay for all my sins. And God, if you want to use the pain in my life to help others, do so. I want to be more like you. So today, as much as I know how, Jesus Christ, I ask you to fill me with your life and your love and your spirit. And start me on the journey to trusting you more every day. And then one day, I ask you to take me home to your home in heaven, where all the questions will be answered and all the problems will be removed and all the pain will be replaced with your joy. I look forward to that day. Help me to tell other people about this. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions that we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be right back to close out our time today, but first, one of the things you ask us about most here on Daily Hope are the Bible scripture cards. We get a ton of requests for them. So Pastor Rick has added another deck of scripture cards with 40 of the key verses from this 40 Days of Prayer series that will transform your prayer life. Here's Rick to tell you more.
Friends, one of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize scripture. God tells us in Proverbs 7, verse 2, guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and also keep them deep within your heart. Now, you may not think you've got a good memory, but the truth is we all remember what's important to us. For instance, you remember phone numbers and dates that you care about. I've heard people say they can't memorize anything, yet they can quote a song lyrics from their childhood, or they can rattle off a statistic for their favorite baseball player. You see, memory is a skill that you can learn, and it's also a muscle that you can strengthen. In fact, study after study has shown that memorizing scripture will cause your brain to have a stronger memory in other areas too. So when you memorize scripture, you're actually benefiting a lot of other areas in your life. Now, here's how I want to help you memorize God's Word. We've put together a new packet, a new set of cards with verses from the Bible for you to memorize. And these are good, easily memorizable verses. And you can put these cards around your house, or you can put them on your refrigerator, or, you know, tape them to the mirror where you brush your teeth, or you can put them by your bed, or in your car, in the visor. It doesn't really matter, but they're very beautiful, and they will keep these Bible verses, God's Word, before you every day, helping you to memorize the Word of God. I hope you'll take advantage of this new resource.
Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a gift to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world, we'll send you the 40 Days of Prayer scripture cards to say thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of the 40 Days of Prayer Scripture Cards, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Today is the last day to get yours, so don't wait. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.